My dear friends, as our Lord carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem, a great crowd gathered along the way. Some were his enemies, heaping insults and blows on the bloodied figure. Others were his friends and followers, and they wept at the sight of his mangled body. Still others had gathered only out of curiosity. And so this evening, let us imagine that we are among those who crowded the narrow cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, pushing our way through the crowd to get a glimpse of the renowned prophet and wonder worker from Galilee. We join the mob on the outskirts of the city. Our Lord had already suffered the bloody sweat and the agony of the garden. He had been beaten by the temple guards, scourged and crowned with thorns by the cruel Roman soldiers. As we look, we see that his outer garment, that long robe, is crimson red, and that the dried blood makes it cling to his body. And as we meet him on his way to Calvary, our Lord is completely exhausted, and by human estimation, should have died long ago. And yet his human nature is sustained by his divine nature. It is the will of God that Christ dies the most ignominious and humiliating death for our sins. And so he will not die until he is crucified. As he reaches the base of the hill that leads to Calvary, our Lord falls for the third time. Although his weakness is extreme, as St. Alphonsus says, the cruelty of his executioners is far worse. Raining down blows on his bloody back, dragging him to his feet again, they lay the heavy cross on his shoulders once again. In the revelations to St. Bridget, Our Lady revealed to St. Bridget what she saw. As my son was going to the place of suffering, Our Lady said, some people hit him in the neck, while others hit him in the face. He was so brutally and forcefully beaten that although I did not see who hit him, I heard the sound of the blow clearly. Finally, though exhausted, our Lord reaches the top of Calvary, the place of execution. The nails and the hammer are there already, ready to fasten our Lord to his cross. The crown is roughly taken off his head, ripping open the wounds from the long thorns. They then pull the long linen robe over his head. The dried blood has adhered to the robe, and as the soldiers drag it off, every wound from the scourging is reopened. Fresh blood once again pours from the body of Christ, as every drop is poured out for love of us. Now, most of those in the crowd watching our Lord fall, watching him stripped of his garments, they saw it from a human perspective. They saw the soldiers forcing our Lord to his death. But my dear friends, our Lord was not going to Calvary because the executioners were forcing him. He was going to Calvary solely out of obedience to the will of his Father. And that will was that he should suffer. He should suffer and shed every drop of his precious blood to satisfy for the sins of men. By his fall and the stripping of his garments, our Lord was atoning for our sins, sins of pride, of self-love, self-will, and our sins of vanity. And it was the will of his Father that he should atone for these sins by the humiliation of the cross. But for us, what lesson can we learn from these two stations? How can we apply what we see to our own lives? And certainly, we can see the meekness of Christ and his love for us and his determination to suffer for sin. But most importantly, we learn to imitate how he suffered. That is, how our Lord saw the humiliations, the suffering, and the anguish of his journey to Calvary. He saw them as the will of God to atone for sin. Now, of course, we cannot atone for our own sins the way our Lord atoned for the sins of all men. However, the patient suffering of the evils, the trials, and the difficulties of life are God's will for us. They are to enable us to make satisfaction for the temporal punishment that is due to our sins, and to make reparation for those sins. It is when we get this perspective that the people or the situations in our lives that are frustrating or annoying or that cause us some kind of suffering or humiliation, these are the opportunities for us to make satisfaction and reparation. And when we have this perspective, then we have truly united our will to God's will, just as our Lord did during his passion. Each one of us is faced with adversities each and every day. We can either bear them begrudgingly, and they will weigh us down, or we can bear them out of patience, out of love for God, and unite them to his divine will. And then these adversities will help us on our way to heaven. My dear friends, if we love God, we will want to make this satisfaction and reparation for the many offenses that we have committed. And in return for our love and generosity, he will help us to make the cross easier to bear. Saint Teresa often said that he who loves God embraces the cross and thus does not feel it, while he who does not love him drags his cross along by force and thus cannot but feel it. Let us then, as we meditate on these 9th and 10th stations, let us imitate the patient suffering of our Lord as he carried his cross, as he fell beneath it the third time, as he was stripped of his garments, as he bore that humiliation. Let us bear the crosses and the trials of your daily life with patience. And in this way, my dear friends, we will be among those who love our crosses because we love God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.